I wanted to just talk for briefly a moment here. I am so encouraged right now. The last few weeks, I don't know if you can feel it, but I just feel like our church is taking a step up. The Spirit is in one accord, and I can see growth in some individuals, and it's pretty awesome how it's starting to take over. The prophet Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days, and it takes surrender. It takes surrender to do that. And I encourage you, if you're not feeling that, ask God to start revealing it to you. Ask for more. Ask for more. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I promise you to get on this journey with all of us. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, and it's not for our glory. It is for His glory. It's for His glory. I'm so encouraged, and I'm listening to Scripture, and there's no talking amongst each other here before Him, but I'm listening, and I'm quoting Scripture, and I'm going, yes, yes, and it's just an affirmation inside me. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. I'm watching, singing a new song, and I'm seeing people just worship freely. Worship freely, surrendered. Letting that life be changed and transformed. You're not who you were. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. That's the power of love. As we continue on, love breaks through. I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped. Our opening text, and we'll end up using this full context, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was manifested. God showed how much He loved toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of for our sins. Last week, I read to you an article about experiencing love, experiencing God's love, not just knowing it, but experiencing it. And when you experience God, it's awesome. And I had an experience this past week. I was at the gym, and I'm sitting there, and I'm working out on the elliptical trainer, doing cardio, trying to take care of my heart. And I'm watching a video of How Great Is Our God, but there's this other version of it by Chris Tomlin. It's called The World Edition. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this song, and it's in different, they mix in different languages all in one, and I'm watching thousands of people singing in one accord, How Great Is Our God, and then there's different languages interwoven in, and I see in the back also this like crescendo piece, and there's like these children from Africa, and they're just freely worshiping God, and then all of a sudden they zoom into the crowd, and there's a mixture. It's like a tapestry of color of people that are just worshiping God. And I'm like, one, that's what it was like in the upper room when they were in all in one accord. Right. Two, that is what it's going to be like in heaven when we're all this big melting pot getting together and giving praise and glory to God. It was such a visual, and I literally sat there and replayed the video over and over again while I'm working out. And I wasn't sweating. I was crying. I just had tears of joy and this overwhelming of the Spirit of God overcome me. And it was just such a powerful moment. And I thought about the guy who stitched it. You know, I made a comment about experiencing the love of God, but like those moments they're not continuous, you know, where you have this like overwhelming power. But you have these things. Remember the guy who wrote down the experience and he sewed it into the inside of his coat, right? He sewed the experience of what he remembered, his words of what he just experienced into the side of his coat so that when he fell into the valleys or whatever, he could look and remember, hey, amen, God's love is with us. Right. So experiencing God's love. And I'm sure you're wondering what this is for, and I'm going to get there in a minute. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. I'm going to read that passage again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, say, I am a whosoever.
I am a whosoever.
That encompasses everybody. That's why we're encouraged to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, right? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. I think you've heard me talk about this numerous times. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Darkness has blinded. Yes, and they're walking in darkness and they don't understand. They don't even understand and comprehend what the love of God is. They may have heard it, but they're not even open to it. Their spirit's not even open to it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." But this does not mean that faith is blind. It means that faith is not limited to our physical sight. So what do we mean? What are we talking about here? We're not talking about the use of the physical eye, although what we behold with our natural eyes can affect what we see with our spiritual eyes. We are not just talking about our mind's eye or our imagination, although that can be a part of spiritual sight. Spiritual sight is compared to physical sight because the results are the same for both, for each. When we see something in the natural, it is a result. I want you to listen to this. Understand. When we see something in the natural, it is a result of light shining on an object. Our eyes see the reflected light, and it sends a signal back to our brains. And our brains can interpret the signal, and it produces a knowing or perceiving in our consciousness. We become aware of something. Through sight, we can perceive the existence of an object and come to know something about its characteristics. I hope this is reading accord. The greater the amount of light, the more we will be able to tell about the object we are seeing. The impression of knowing we get from perceiving is compelling. Though we may acknowledge the possibility that our eyes can be deceived, we generally hold fast to the idea that seeing is believing. Now let's look at spiritual sight. Spiritual things are not perceived by natural man with his natural sight. But we compare revelation or spiritual perception to the act of seeing because there are similarities and because results of the two are the same. Namely, a coming into the experience of knowing something beyond the shadow of a doubt. No doubt. Right? Paul said, I press forward, I don't go behind. There's no doubt there. Listen to this. And we just talked about John 3:16, right? And that whole passage through 19. Natural man is in darkness regarding spiritual things. And that is, he cannot perceive them unaided. Without light, we cannot directly perceive God or his kingdom. Though we have the testimony of creation and the inward testimony of our conscience, the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness and influence on the soul of man. And it has the same effect as light has upon the natural eyes of man. Like light, the greater the influence, the greater the level of perception. And the result of a man receiving the light of the Spirit is a perception. He becomes absolutely convinced that the truth of the object he saw is as if he had seen it with his natural eyes. I have new eyes to see that which he has done for me. It's that song, The Wonder, when the glimmer of first sight and my eyes were opened and the blindness becomes light. I'm going to read this whole passage in a minute, but Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance with the saints. Hallelujah. Now. This is an illustration. When love broke through into your life, and as you are encouraged to share the gospel with others, I want you to get a little bit of reality. What you're about to see are people who are fully colorblind in their life. They cannot see color. Now, translate that to those in darkness, okay? Until you are commanded to share the gospel and light to them. Watch what happens. If that didn't move you. What you saw there was someone who was blind to color, and they got to see something for the very first time. You who were in darkness, someone was so willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and love that your eyes were opened for the very first time. You saw something that you've never seen before. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of God's love, folks. That's an illustration of a visual. If you can't just hear it from the scripture, you can see something visually. And he got to see something from a creation standpoint of what God had created on this world. He had never seen a blue sky. He had never seen green. And you saw how it impacted a little boy who had never seen color in his life. That is the power of your testimony, folks. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 22, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places. It's far above all principality, folks. Far above and the power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. There is an age to come. If you're in him, you'll be a part of that age. And a confirmation of Genesis 3, and he put all things under his feet. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. He fills all in all. It's the love of God, folks. It's the love of God. 1 John chapter 4. Let's turn over there, please. 7 through 19. This is John telling us the importance of love. And he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." For God is love, folks. What is this love? It's not an erotic type of love. We're talking about a sacrificial love that Jesus did for us and that we in turn want to do for others. A sacrificing heart to serve, to care for the body, for those in him, and to care for a world that has been lost. That sign says loving people back to life, and it's a new life in him. It's time to put away childish things, folks. It's a new life. And it's an awesome life if you would surrender it. for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested. This is the example. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. That God had sent his only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us. And he sent his Son for the propitiation, the atonement of our sins. Because sin separated us. And he sent his Son to die for us, that we might be one with God again. Beloved. Who's the beloved? That's us. You're a beloved. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. It goes back to the sight. It goes back to sight here. No one has seen God at any time. That's the physical sight. But if we love one another, listen to this. If we love one another, God abides in us. And what does it say? And it says, his love has been perfected in us. And by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And what is the result? What is the result? Right here in verse 14. And we have seen. And what follows after seeing? Testifying. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Because he loved us and we abide in his love and we love one another, we are able to see with spiritual eyes and testify of that love. That whoever, right? There it is. Whoever, whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Amen. God abides in him. Amen. And he and God in turn. It's like when Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Didn't we just pray that, worship team? And we have known and believed the love that God has for us, that God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Because love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness. Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said, the world hated me. Are you not surprised? When you share the love of God, it doesn't necessarily mean people are going to open up their arms. They're not all receive that. They choose darkness over light. That's what John 3:19 said. Because their deeds were evil. It doesn't say don't do it though. Jesus said, the world hated me. Are you not surprised? They would turn and hate you as well. But you can still lead those. Life here is so short compared to eternity, right? Compared to eternity. Eternity, right? What was it? Eternity is too long.
To be wrong.
That's right. Eternity is too long to be wrong. There is no fear in love. See, because love is manifested in you, there's no fear. There's no fear in that because I want to share this love. There shouldn't be fear to share that. Get over yourself. Amen. And get on doing his work. Amen. Yes. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. There's only one perfect love. And it casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Right. Amen? Yes. How are we doing on time here? All right. We're gonna go into a characteristic of God's love. We've learned previously, last week we learned that God's love fills us spiritually, correct? And God's love is a chain breaker, correct? It breaks the chains of this life. God's love, folks, it gives us peace and it gives us hope. And we probably won't get through this whole point because it justifies us when we accept this awesome gift of love. And the affirmation is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 27, there's a whole section. If you read John 13 through 17, it's like all these different points. It's love, 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 and these things. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus' peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's an affirmation of perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Perfect love. And he's saying, I am love. I am love. I'm going to pour out my heart and my life for you. I am love. And so I'm going to give you my peace in addition to that. It's a result. It's first love, then peace, then hope. There's the fruit of the Spirit, right? We'll have to go on that another time. These things, John 16, 33. These things, I'm spitting all over my iPad here. These things I have spoken to you that in me, capital M-E, you may have peace. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because what does it say? I have overcome the world. Isn't that a promise? Isn't that a promise? Is love breaking through right now, folks? Is love breaking through? Is your spirit being renewed? Is it joyful? Is it leaping? I'm leaping in the inside right now, if you can't tell. Oh. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, please. This is confirmation of everything I've just been saying here. And for some of you, you need to hear it again, and you need to hear it again with spiritual ears, Joey. Spiritual ears. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Become mature. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, what does it say, folks? Because the love of God is shed. And I like the other, it's in parentheses. It says, it's poured abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You ever heard of Jesus being the fountain that flows? It never runs dry. And I love that visual of just being poured out. Except for when we pour things out, it empties. His just keeps going. It keeps going and it keeps going. His love can fill you to overflowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it says there. Because the love of God is shed abroad. It's poured abroad in our hearts. By what? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what you and I were in darkness. The ungodly. He didn't come down because we were already holy and righteous. He came down for the ungodly, which is unholy, unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated, it doesn't say actually demonstrated, it says God demonstrates. That's active, that's present right now. Present right now. It's not just once, but it's active right now. God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died. That's past. That was once and for all done. Amen. But he continues to demonstrate his love to us for what he did. Do you understand? It wasn't like, oh, just at that point he died and that was it for those people. It's constantly demonstrating his love for us because of what Jesus did. Do you understand that? It's constantly being poured out for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through him. Through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. You see, before you came to know Jesus, you were an enemy of God. That's what it says right there. You were an enemy of God. And that's why people have a hard time. They don't understand that God would judge people. That God would judge people. It's because they're an enemy of God. They're in darkness, and that's why they will be judged according to their works. But you, who have accepted, he gives everyone that opportunity. Yes, he does. He's a just God. He gives everyone the opportunity to come to know his love. And it's that love that saves us. For if we were enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So here it is. Here's the gospel story and the why the cross and why Christ. Why did he have to do these things? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and as a result, death through sin. And thus death spread to all man because all have sinned. That's the original seed, right? Adam, right? Adam sinned. It's passed on through the seed, which, you know, each of you have a father, correct? You were born, okay, of that seed. And that seed is the original sin that is implanted of you, even those who are perfect. That's why Jesus had to be born through a virgin. That's the redemption plan. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Okay? Who is a type of him to come, who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God. And the gift by the grace of the one man, capital M, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. That's the sin that Adam did. It resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, folks, you could not pay the price that Jesus paid. That's the point. It's a free gift to all those who accept it. Yes. I remember Pastor Don at my father's funeral talked about giving take a watch as an example. And he said, if I want to give you a gift, and I want to hand you it, and I have this watch. And he said, if I give you this, he said, it's a gift. I'm freely giving it to you. But you have to take it. To receive it. You have to accept the gift. Do you understand? That was such an awesome visual for me when he did that. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, capital M, many will be made righteous. That, folks, is love in action. You remember that? The first time we started? Love being an action. It's a verb. Love in action. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There on the cross, sin, God's wrath, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love all collided together and was poured out and conquered it. It conquered the grave. It conquered the grave. Grace was God's empowering presence in you and I for us to do and be what we could not do and be on our own. And that was to be righteous and holy. God's grace allows us to do that because of his acceptance, because of his love in us. We are washed clean. That's why we sing, "Are you washed in the blood?" It's Jesus' blood that washes us. We'll continue on here, but I want to close with this. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God," what does love do? Love gives us hope and it gives us peace. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. Take the visual you got today. Take the visual. New eyes are given to you. There's a lost and dying world that's out there. Jesus was obedient to death, to the cross, for you and I. Will you not be obedient to him now in your daily living? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, your love poured out for us. You gave it all for us, Lord. Each and every one of us, because you know us. And you loved us even when we were wrong. Father, we're sorry if we've missed the mark. We're sorry for being immature. Let today be a new day. That we walk in your light and let it shine to this lost and dying world. That we be forever changed and committed to move forward in life for your glory. To not go back to the mud and not to go back to our selfish ways. Let love and grace abound in us. If you prayed that internally, and today is a new day for you, would you just raise your hand if you're going to commit to that? That's awesome. That's awesome. That is awesome. Welcome to a new day and a new life in Jesus. Get ready to grow, church. Time is ticking. Amen. We come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You are dismissed.